that's how we're going to worship this morning.
Whom shall I fear? shall I fear? Oh, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Hallelujah. Of whom shall we fear and whom shall we be afraid? Because God, you are with us and you are our light. God, you lead us in, God, through the dark valleys, Lord Jesus. You are there. God, you give us everything that we possibly need when we walk this path, Lord Jesus. Help us to keep our eyes set on you, God. God, every day. And God, if we've been stumbling, Lord Jesus, help us to learn. Help us to understand. God, help us to look to you in all circumstances. In your precious name, everybody said, amen. Amen. If you would, at this time, let's greet one another. Give them a hug and a smile.
Song had an A, but we changed it to D, and I was thinking, oh, you don't have the changes. You're doing the other song. Hey, Rich, when was the last time you had your prescription? I would think you'd read the, but never mind.
No, then I looked at the
did you, did you check out the air show? No, they closed the street there. The gates are still open. You can still get in. They closed the street there so you can't park there, but I think you can still get, you gotta walk. If you try going that way, Craycroft and Golf Links, you'll never get in.
Good morning, everybody.
This is
my name is
that
Karen Kelly,
better, yeah.
And I'm going to go over the bulletin and the announcements in here. I'm just going to highlight a few. I'd really appreciate if you took the time to look at what's happening here at Pathway, and maybe something will work out where you can go, or two or three things will work out, or four or five or six. But first off, I just wanted to let you know, in your offering envelope, if you want to give with your tithes and offerings, I just want to point out once again that there's a place for missions and also for our India church, which Pastor Doug will talk about in a little bit, because we have some pictures and over there from our India church plant. But if you are first-time visitors, we would really appreciate it, or guests, you know, we would appreciate it if you would go ahead and fill out the communication card. Also, if you want to update any information, if you've had any change of information regarding email, phone numbers, etc., we would appreciate if you would fill this out. And then you can just go ahead and put it in the offering basket. Also, then I want to point out women's breakfast next Saturday. So go ahead and sign up. We have it potluck. Go ahead and put down what you want to bring, and then I'll call and remind you on Friday. So, but we're going to have a very special time next Saturday. The other couple ones that we've had so far this year have been really a blessing, and we just take a couple hours. Unfortunately, I'm sorry there's no child care, but hopefully arrangements will be made so you can come and join us for that blessed morning. And then I wanted to point out that we have the next walking sign up for Saturday, April 10th. Go ahead on the table. You can sign up for that. And then on the conference information, I do have some dates now for the GLOW that is going to be in San Jose, and also for the Women of Faith Conference that's going to be in Phoenix. So you might want to look at that. I have information coming. And then as for the GLOW, as we find out more, we'll let you know. Chris Bauernfein, if you want to talk to her, she can let you know more too, as she knows. And then I just want to once again reemphasize the donation box over there for the Catalina Food Bank. They take non-perishable food items and also clothing. We want to help those in times that are going through times of less, being less fortunate. We've all been there lots of times where we've had a time of need. and we want to share God's love to this community in this way. Just bring like a one or two items or something, canned good or a non-perishable item. When you're going to the grocery store, maybe buy a couple extras, and then just bring it on Sunday. I just want to encourage you. But thank you so much, and just don't forget, take the time to look. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Karen. If we could, let's stand to our feet again. Continue to worship our Lord. is our prayer this morning, God. Do what you will, God. Whatever it takes, Lord. Do what you will in our hearts and our minds and our souls, God, to make us more and more like you, God. Have your way, have your will, God. Not our will, but your will, Lord Jesus, be done. Hallelujah. We give you thanks in your precious name.
One of the ministries that I love the most about our church is our hula ministry. And they travel around a couple times a month to some of the care homes in the area. And they minister to these folks who can't get out of their bed. Yeah, have a seat, folks. They minister to these people in these care homes that can't get out and come to church. They can't get out and you can't even go to the store. They're stuck in these homes, in these little places. And our hula team, our hula ministry goes out and they perform for them. They share God's love with them. And I'm just so excited that they're able to perform for us today. In your worship guide, there is a sheet that translates the words of the song that they're going to dance to today. It may be a familiar song to many of you, but in case not, you can read along with the note sheet in the worship guide.
Thank you.
And with that thought in our minds and on our hearts about asking God to change our hearts to be more like Him, we're going to enter now into our ministry of prayer time. If our prayer teams would be available over here on the left, on your left. This is our time of true worship. Don't hold anything back from God this morning. Whatever it is that's on your mind, it's on your heart. If you need God to act in your life, claim that today. Go to our prayer teams and ask for their intercession on your behalf. You can go and kneel before the cross, and bow before the King. You can worship where you're sitting. You can stand and worship. You can pray. Whatever it is that you need to get your hearts and your minds ready to receive what God has for you this morning, use this as an opportunity to get ready for God. Let's worship together.
take this time to listen. So many times we have so much going on in our minds. It's hard to really hear the voice of God. You see, it is vital for us as Christians to hear that voice. Without it, we have no direction, we have no vision, we have no leadership. That is the goal here in our lives, is to be able to seek His face. But if we can't even hear Him, how are we seeking? Can we empty our minds this morning? Can we say, Lord, I just want to be able to hear Your voice amongst all of the busyness of my life. I want to hear You speak so that I can simply obey. Because you see, the Father knows what's best for us. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows what you're facing. And you see, He wants to lead you through it. He wants to guide you through it. But you see, sometimes we get in the way with our thoughts. We get in the way with our plans. I know I do. And I have to step back and I have to say, Lord, God, whatever You got to do. And I have to begin to listen. Sometimes that takes evaluating our lives and saying, okay, is this really what the Lord wants me to do? Or is this something I just feel like doing? You see, God's showing me right now, and I just want to share it as an encouragement to you. I work construction, and some of the things I hear and some of the things I face, quite frankly, are not edifying to my soul. I got to be honest. Matter of fact, they can be damaging at times. Begin to remind me of my old man, of who I used to be. It really weigh on me and take an effect. But you see, my plan would be, let me just run away from there, God. Let me just get away from this. And God is reminding me that there are His children there. Despite their disobedience to Him, despite them not knowing, you see, He's still at work there in their hearts. Because their hearts are lost and their hearts are broken. And God just reminded me, Randy, you're being a bit of a Jonah. Crossing your arms saying, I don't want to be in Nineveh. Take me out, God, please. But you know what? Sometimes, in the case of Jonah and Nineveh, God's going to wilt that shade tree. And you're going to have to realize you were wrong and I was wrong. And Lord, forgive me for that. I confess that in front of my brothers and sisters, Lord, because I do want to hear Your voice, God. And whenever You say it's time and it's time for me to move from Nineveh, I'll go. Would You let that be Your heart this morning? If there's a situation in your life, maybe you're being a Jonah, would You say, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. God, would You give me compassion for those whom I feel like, God, are not helpful in my spiritual walk? Would You give me a new perspective on people? People that really challenge me. Because you see, that's who He's after. And if we get in the way, He's not able to use us to reach, to pour out the love. And maybe you may be the only light that those people get to see and experience. Can we get out of the way this morning? Can we evaluate our lives? Let the Holy Spirit examine you and tell. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart.
to see you in every circumstance of my life, God. God, don't let my heart become hardened. Keep my heart soft for you at all times, Heavenly Father. God, that your love would flow through me, Lord. That I wouldn't be a blockage, but Lord, that I would be, God, just an avenue just to pour out all over your city, God. Would you do that? Would you decrease us, God, that you would increase inside of us? Move us out of the way, God. Mold us and shape us. You are the potter, we are the clay. And what you need us to be, and what you have really designed us for, God, let us look to you for that. Let us not make our own plans. But God, let's hear your voice. Let's see you in our circumstances, and let's follow you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And here's why.
'Cause you are God in heaven, and here am I on earth.
If you know it, just sing along with me.
I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you.
Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Prayer teams, you can be seated. Worship team, thank you. You can be seated. We're going to continue to worship the Lord now with his tithes and our offerings, if the ushers would prepare for that. Heavenly Father, I just praise you for everything, Lord, for who you are and everything you do for us. Lord, you are awesome. Right now, we just want to give a little bit back to you of what you've so generously given to us, Lord. We are so blessed. So I pray that you take these tithes and offerings, Lord, and multiply them, bless them, bless our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, ushers. So, few things I want to go over before I get into the message for this morning. First of all, Karen mentioned our India church plant that we are our partners with. They're kind of our sister church. And if you've been supporting them, they are so thankful. And I am so thankful. And they have the pastor of the church over there has sent a letter and some pictures if you want to go to the resource table after the service and take a look at some of the things that are going on over in India. Read the pastor's letter, and it's just real encouraging. You know, the money that we send over there every month is not being wasted. It is being used to expand God's kingdom over there, and God's doing some amazing things in India right now. So thank you for your support of our sister church in India. That's great. Also, coming up in 2 weeks is Easter, right? It's kind of sneaking up on us, isn't it? But I'll tell you what, Easter is a great opportunity to get people to church who don't usually go to church. People usually go to church, you know, if they're not going to church all the time, they usually show up on Easter and Christmas, right? Those are the two times when they really make an effort to get to church. So let's do our best. 2 weeks away, guys. Let's fill this place up. Let's invite our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, people that don't know Jesus, people that don't have a relationship with him. Let's fill this place up with people that God is going to transform. Okay? Let's do that. If our record for attendance in the history of our church is around in the 140s, you know, 140s. We've been in the 70s and 80s for the last couple of months here. If everybody brings a person, we break our record, right? So let's go for that. Let's fill this place up on Easter, and it's going to be an awesome service. God's going to do amazing things, and I can't wait. So that's 2 weeks away, folks. Easter Sunday. We are in a series called God Chasers. If you have been following along with us over the last couple of months, we've been having some small groups that are going on during the week. We've been reading through a book by Tommy Tenney called God Chasers, and we've been gearing our Sunday messages towards that series also, so it's becoming more of a church campaign than just a small group series, and it's really great. I love what God is doing. Some of these groups are just magical. God is working in those small groups. He's moving there, and it's awesome. If you're not a part of one of our small groups, you know, it's not too late. Talk to Karen. She can hook you up. Karen, right over here, raise your hand, Karen. That's Karen Kelly. And she kind of has the list of the small groups, and all the small groups have spots available if you're interested in joining up. We'd love to have you join. You can also, if you don't have time to join one of our groups, you can just get the book. You can go to Barnes & Noble's, you can go to Amazon.com, you can go to the Bible bookstore, pick up God Chasers by Tommy Tenney, and start reading through it. We're in chapter 6 this week, so you can easily read the first 5 chapters and catch up real quick. So I encourage you to do that. It will enhance your experience through this series, okay? But we have a verse that we've been memorizing during this series. You guys remember what that is? Jeremiah 29:13. Can you guys say it? Let's put it up there. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Yes. Let's say it again. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. Chasing after God. Seeking him with every fiber of your being. Wanting more of him in your life. What I have of God right now in my life is not enough. I want more. I want more. And he will give it to us. He promises. If we chase after him with all our heart, he will reveal himself to us in greater and greater measures. We got to be ready, and we got to be chasing after him. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 6, that's where we're going to be for part of this morning. This is a chapter that we actually talked about here in church about 6 months ago when we were covering our series on King David and his life, and we talked a little bit about this chapter. Basically, the story is, and I'm just going to kind of summarize it for you, the story in 2 Samuel chapter 6 is King David has decided to move the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. There was a war between Israel and the Philistines conquered Israel in battle and took the Ark of the Covenant, which represented, it didn't represent, it was where God's presence rested. The Ark of the Covenant was usually kept in the tabernacle or the temple in the Holy of Holies, and it was where God's presence rested. It was a sacred artifact. And the Philistines conquered Israel and took it. Israel usually carried the Ark of the Covenant in front of them in battle to represent God going before them in battle. The Philistines conquered Israel, took the Ark of the Covenant, took it back to their territory, and God kind of cursed the Philistines a little bit for taking it, and so they gave it back. And so David, who was king of Israel at this time, decided that he wanted to move the Ark of the Covenant back to its rightful place in Jerusalem, in the tabernacle. And so he goes to do that. He gets this nice new cart, and he gets two really great oxen, and he hooks them up to this cart, and he puts the Ark of the Covenant on the cart, and they start moving it to Jerusalem. And the cart hits a pothole or a speed bump or something, and the Ark of the Covenant starts to fall off the cart. And there's this guy walking next to the cart named Uzzah. Uzzah reaches out to steady the Ark of the Covenant, because you don't want the Ark to fall on the ground, right? That's God. So he reaches out to try to steady the Ark of the Covenant, keep it from falling. But because he touched the Ark of the Covenant, because he touched God's presence, God struck him dead. He just fell on the ground dead. The problem was that David didn't know how to handle the holy things of God. The Ark of God wasn't treated with the respect and the honor that it deserved. So Uzzah died because David didn't do his research. So King David goes back, does some research, figures out that the Ark of the Covenant isn't supposed to travel on a cart. It's supposed to be carried by the priests with poles put through little rings that are in the side of the Ark of the Covenant. It's supposed to be carried by the priests. So King David goes back, gets the Ark of the Covenant, does it right with the poles and everything, priests carrying it every six steps. He was so afraid of making another mistake that every six steps they would stop and they would sacrifice something to God just to make sure they were on the right track, you know. And they traveled that way, getting the Ark back to Jerusalem, where it belonged. God's presence back into the city of David, where it belonged. But the point was that King David didn't show the proper respect for God's presence. Jeffrey, I'm hearing something in the monitors, like a little bit of music or something. Is the CD playing? Can you kill that? Thanks. So I titled today's message, Standing in Awe, just like we just sang about. Because, yes, we've also sung that God is our friend, right? I'm a friend of God. God is our friend. He wants to be our best friend that we can go to for anything. He wants us to talk to him about anything, even the little piddly things that we don't think matter. God wants us to talk about them with him. He wants us to be able to complain to him. The prophets did that all the time in the Old Testament, right? Why is this happening? Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous people suffer? What's going on, God? What are you thinking? He wants us to be able to come to him and talk to him about anything. He wants to be our friend. But at the same time, there has to be a certain measure of respect and honor. We can't take him for granted. We got to give him the respect and the honor that is due him in our lives. So there are certain things about which we need to be in awe of God in our lives. And the first thing, if you want to write these on your sermon note sheet, is we need to be in awe of God's unfailing love. God's love is amazing. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's love is awesome. God's love is amazing. His forgiveness the fact that there is nothing that you have done, nothing that you will do, that can separate you from God's love. Nothing can make him stop loving you. And that's crazy, right? Because our love always comes with contingencies, doesn't it? God's love, unfailing, cannot make God stop loving you, no matter what you do. He loves you. And that blows my mind, that the creator of the universe would care about me. That's awesome. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19 says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love," this is Paul talking to the church in Ephesus, "may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge." God's love is so huge. In our human minds, we can't even grasp it, how great God's love is for us. But he loves us. He loves us. He wants what's best for us. He wants us to be with him in heaven forever, despite our imperfections. That's why, gosh, he loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross so that his blood would cover over our sins so that we could be with him forever. He gave up his son for you. That's amazing. God's unfailing love is awesome. Another thing that we need to be in awe of is God's perfect plan. Jeremiah 29, 11, just a few verses before our key verse for this series that we're memorizing. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." You may feel like you're just wandering around in the desert like the Israelites, right? You may feel like you cannot see where your life is going. You can't see what's coming up around that next turn. But God knows. You may hit a speed bump in your life or a ditch, right? And you can't figure out how you're going to get out of that situation. God knows. He has a plan. He has a plan. If you follow his directions, he'll get you where you need to be. God is like our Garmin GPS, right? Who's used a GPS before? Garmin, TomTom, one of those things that tells you where to turn, where to go, right? God's our Garmin. I love my Garmin. I use it everywhere. It tells me to turn left in 200 feet on Oracle Road. You know, it tells me where to go, how to get there. I love my Garmin. You can program it with different voices, right? You can have a guy voice telling you where to go or a girl's voice telling you where to go. And I don't use the girl's voice because I get enough of that at home. And so the girl's voice, the guy's voice telling me where to go. And you can even do different languages, you know, Japanese guy and Japanese telling you where to go. I have no idea what he's saying, but it's pretty cool. Swedish, you know. So I think they should program them with, like, celebrity voices. I think that'd be cool. Like Mr. T. "Turn right here, fool! I ain't getting on no plane!" You know? Or, like Yoda. "Turn left, right up here, you will." You know, something like that. I think that'd be cool. I'd pay for that. That'd be awesome. But God is our Garmin. He will tell you where to go if you're listening for his voice. He has a perfect plan for your life. And the only way it gets messed up is when we start doing our own thing. But if you're following God, listening for his voice to tell you where to go, he'll get you where you need to be. He has a perfect plan for your life. The third thing we need to be in awe of is God's overwhelming power. The Psalms talk a lot about God's power. Psalm 77, 14 says, "You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples." In Psalm 147, 5 says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits." God's power is awesome. It's amazing. And he wants wants to use that in your life. He wants to release his power in your life. God has power for the miraculous. Luke 1:35, when the angel Gabriel is talking to Mary, telling her she's going to have the baby Jesus, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." That is a miracle, that God can create a baby in the womb of a virgin. God has the power for the miraculous in your life. Whatever you need from him, he has the power to do it. Miraculous power. Sight for the blind. Right, Tally? Sight for the blind. Cancer. Gone. He can heal you physically. He can heal you spiritually, emotionally. Whatever you need from him. God wants to release his miraculous power in your life. There's also God gives us the power to do his will. Acts 1:8. Jesus is about to ascend back up to heaven after rising from the dead. He said, he's talking to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." God's will is that none should perish, that everyone be saved. He wants to use you to accomplish his will. It's part of our church's mission and vision, right? We're empowered by God to accomplish his perfect will in an imperfect world. And he gives us the power by the Holy Spirit being inside of us. Would you accept God as your Savior and ruler of your life? The Holy Spirit enters you and gives you God's power to accomplish his will in the world. So when you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you to do something and you start thinking, "That's impossible. I can't do that. There's no way I can do that." You're right. On your own, it would be impossible. But you've got the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you waiting to be released, and he will empower you to accomplish. God wouldn't tell you to do something if he didn't give you the tools to do it. So when he tells you to do something, obey, even if it seems crazy, even if it seems impossible. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to do what he's asking you to do. The power to do his will. We also have God gives us the power for godly living. 1 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. He gives us the power to be holy, to be godly. There may be a temptation in your life that you just cannot beat. Every time it pops up in your life, you just fail. And you're sick of it. I'll tell you what. You have the power of God at your disposal for godly living. You can conquer. You can have victory over that failure in your life. We have access to that power. God's overwhelming power. John 14:11-14, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth." Listen to this. "Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing." He had been traveling around doing miracles, healing people, turning water into wine, doing, cursing a fig tree and it withers. "Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. And you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. That's the power of God that we have at our disposal. We have a promise from Jesus right there. Ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. So if we know that God loves us, right, and wants what's best for us, we know that God has an amazing, perfect plan for our lives. He knows where we're going and what we need to get there. And we know that his power is more than adequate enough to accomplish that plan. Then why do we worry about our life? Why do we worry about the things going on around us? God's got it under control. Instead of trying to figure out why some of these things are happening to us and why God's allowing them to happen to us, instead, we should be in awe of him and think about the future after God has resolved all of these things that are going on in our lives right now. And we can look back and we can say, look what my God did. Look what my God did. We've been hearing a lot last couple of weeks about God telling us, watch what I'm going to do, right? Watch what I'm going to do. That's what God is saying to our church right now. Folks, the time is going to come. The time is going to come when we're going to say, look what God is doing. Look what God just did. It's not going to be, watch what he's going to do. It's going to be, look what he it's God. But we got to be in awe of him. We got to maintain that respect, that honor. Stand in awe of him and his love and his perfect plan and his power. Trust him. Don't just yell at him and complain to him and Heavenly Father, you are so amazing, and I am so in awe of you. You've done some amazing things, Lord, in the people of this church, and you're continuing to do amazing things. I know you have awesome things for us in the future. You've told us so. You said, watch what I'm going to do. We are watching, Lord. Do your work. Lord, thank you for your perfect love that washes away all our sin. Thank you for your perfect plan for our lives. And thank you for the power that's available to us, Lord, in our lives to accomplish your will and to do miraculous things. We want to see miracles, Lord. We want to see your power at work among us. With everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to hear, is there anyone here this morning that wants to give their heart to God for the first time? You want to just give your life to him? You want to accept Jesus' forgiveness of your sins? If you want to give your heart to Jesus today, would you just look up and make eye contact with me so that I can pray for you?
Stand.
will my words be? Yes, I will my words be here. Jesus, I am for it. Will I stand? Yes, I'll stay. Joy and peace as you travel.